Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Well, sadly, here we are. The first non-football weekend. We got it next week, we know, and then we go without for a long time. A long, long time. February, a little slow. Pitchers and catchers do report. March, I mean, I love March Madness. And I would think as a Knicks fan that March Madness would even have an extra special feel to you this year because you can hopefully watch the guys that you're going to wind up with in the not-so-distant future. And we got the combine, and we got NFL free agency, and then when the schedule comes out, and then we get to the draft, which actually, and this is sad that you'd be so focused on the draft as a Jets or Giants fan, but I think that's really all you have right now, is that we are less than 3 months from the NFL draft. April 25th, first round, 26th, 2 and 3, 27th, 4 through 7. So a lot of places for us to go. Obviously the Super Bowl, but we're still a week away. And we'll sprinkle that in today. We'll do a frenzy at 9:45, 800-919-3776. Osaka wins the Australian overnight. She beats Kvitova, and that's her second consecutive win of a Grand Slam. Remember, she won the U.S. Open to end the calendar year of tennis last time out. And then, I get it, it's literally the, I mean, if I said, what's the middle of the night? You would probably say, what would you say is the middle of the night? 3:30, right? In the middle of the night tonight, you get what, if you wake up to go to the bathroom or you're out late or, you know, you go to bed early and you can find a way to wake yourself up. And I don't know if I could do it. I'm going to try. Djokovic, Nadal, Australian Open final, 3:30 ESPN. Oh, how great will that be? All right. So 800-919-3776. So as we do on Saturdays, it's usually kind of a smorgasbord of things to get into. Hall of Fame is a big topic. Obviously, Mo gets in unanimously. Absolutely deserving. 100% deserves it. Glad he got it. Kind of pathetic. I can't think of a better word. Kind of pathetic that we have taken this long for one of these unbelievable legends of the game to get in unanimously. Does Mo deserve it? 100%. Absolutely does. But you're telling me that I mean, I could go through a list of 20 guys, 15 guys that of course should be in unanimously. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron. Right? I mean, guys that, Ken Griffey Jr., Babe Ruth. I mean, what sense does it make that Babe Ruth got a lesser percentage vote than Mo? But Mo got in, deservedly so. We know about the steroids guys. We know about the PEDs guys, Bonds, Clemens did not get in. And I think the belief is they probably won't. So Edgar Martinez gets in. Mike Mussina gets in. And again, it's so inexact. It really is. And I think Mussina's, he's right on the border. Like, either way, I'm fine. The thing that gets me with Mussina is how does he go from the first year he was eligible, getting 20% of the votes, and now he gets in? That will never, ever make sense to me. That a guy is deserving of 20% of the votes year one, and by year, what is it, year five of him eligible to get in, boom, gets in. So, that's on the table, 800-919-3776. We start with the Knicks and the Nets from last night, and... Boy, I got to tell you, and I'm all on board with the Knicks and the losing and whether it's tanking or just conveniently playing the right players at the right times or whatever you want to call it. It's not an easy season. It's really not. I mean, just every single game to know that your team's going to go out and get their heads handed to them. And again, you know, they played well in the first half last night and Trey Burke gave you a game. And it's hard. It's hard to be a fan. And you know what's hard? It's hard when you're a fan, and this is a cycle. You know, I go from the Giants at 3-13, and then they go 5-11 this year. But really, by mid-October, are done. Then I hand that over to the Knicks and the Rangers. The Rangers, I guess, have a semblance of a shot of getting into the postseason, but not really. And the Knicks have no chance and are sitting here with the second-worst record in the NBA, which is what I want, but it doesn't make it any easier. And then the Mets will hand the torch to them in a couple of weeks. And they come out and they make statements like, listen, guys, we have a $30 million player. Why would we? Like, you're the idiot. Why would we? Dave, why? Rick, you know, what, Mets fans, why would we go after a Machado or a Harper when we're paying Cespedes for the next 2 years, $29 and $29.5 million? How many teams have multiple $30 million guys? I don't care if nobody has it. Your payroll's not at 195. You're not paying luxury tax. You could bring in Manny Machado, change the dynamic of this team, and pay him $30 million a year for the next 8 years and be fine. And Cespedes will be off the payroll in 2 years. And then you know what? Machado, at the end of the deal, will be 34 years old. But no. And I like what the Mets did yesterday. I like Justin Wilson. I really do. I love that signing. 2 years, $10 million, very reasonable. Do I think the Mets are a better team than they were when the season ended? I do. I mean, I don't love the Cano move, but I understand it. I understand that Brody is hamstrung in some of the things he has to do, but boy, they make it so difficult. You know, when the Yankees just go out and systematically, we need this, we got it, we need this, we got it, we need this, we got it. I mean, let's be honest. Are the Yankees better with Manny Machado? Yeah. Are they better with Bryce Harper? Sure. Do the Yankees need, like, the Yankees are going to be a 98-win team if they sit here the way they are or if they go out and bring in Manny Machado. The Mets need Manny Machado. The Mets right now are probably on the outside looking in of the postseason, and if they bring in someone like Manny Machado, you know what? It changes like that. But that's not the Mets, because you don't get it. They're already spending $29 million on a player, so why would you even think about bringing in another guy like that? I mean, you're nowhere near the threshold. You're nowhere near the number that you have to avoid. But why would we? We already pay a guy. How about that for rationale? No, we're not interested in this guy because we already pay a guy like that. You're missing it. You don't understand. We pay someone already at that level. So what sense would it make to pay someone else at that level? Okay. All right. 800-919-3776. And then you get the Knicks. And like I said, and listen, if you want to call and discuss the Nets, because I get beat up on Twitter all the time, you never talk Nets. I don't know what more there is to say. I mean, this team has had the best 24-game stretch in the history of the franchise. They're a fun basketball team. They play hard. They're well coached. They can score. But can we stop with this narrative, please, of there's a chance that they're going to overtake the Knicks and this could be a Nets town? They're a fun team. I enjoy watching them play. I think Kenny Atkinson is an excellent coach. I think they're not just winning. They win playing fun basketball. Like, it's an enjoyable game to watch. But can we stop with the narrative that, you know, Kevin Durant could go to the Nets? Kevin Durant's not going to the Nets. He's not. They're a good team. They're going to go to the postseason this year. They're headed in the right direction. Could they get a second-tier free agent? Yeah, I think that's realistic. But do I think that a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant or someone of that ilk, Klay Thompson if he decides, Kyrie Irving is going to wind up in Brooklyn? No. And that's okay. And I'm not having the discussion, are they better than the Knicks? They're miles better than the Knicks right now. They beat up on the Knicks last night. But it's kind of gotten to me now that every Knicks game I watch, they're not going to win. They're 10-37. They're winning, in essence, one of every five games. And it's what has to happen. It's sad. It's sad to sit here and say, okay, here we go. I mean, tomorrow night, I'll flip on the Knicks and I'll root for them to lose. And that's a sad existence. And it's not even like we're game 74 where, okay, you know what, just endure this for, no. And we're what, 47 games in? We have 35 games of watching this and knowing that you want your teams to lose? It's difficult. And the thing that makes it even more difficult, and let's be honest, of the players on this team, and I'm not talking about Golden State good. Of the players on this roster right now, how many guys do you look at and say, when the Knicks are good, and they're doing nothing wrong, this is what has to be done, but how many guys on this roster right now do you look at and say, when the Knicks are good, which hopefully starts next year and beyond, I'd like him on the team. Noah Vonleh? All right, I guess. Give me 12 minutes a night of Noah Vonleh? Sure. Tim Hardaway Jr.? No, thank you. And I sat right here 2 years ago when they spent $72 million over 4 years. And I said, guys, I don't like this signing. I don't want Tim Hardaway Jr. You're not gonna win with Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah, he could score the basketball a little bit, but you'll get to the end of that contract and be like, why? We're 2 years into that contract, a year and a half into that contract. Why? So do I want Hardaway on a team that's good? No. Kevin Knox? Okay, yeah, I think so. Lance Thomas, he can be on the bench of that team. Frank Ntilikina? I don't know. I mean, I know that you don't want to savagely destroy the kid, but we're a year and a half in. You tell me. When you watch Frank Ntilikina, do you say anything positive about the guy other than he's a decent on-the-ball defender? He's not a good point guard. He's not a good shooting guard. His offensive game is mediocre at best. I mean, do you watch him from last year to this year and say, okay, I see it. Year one to year two, the strides are being made. And I know you don't want to kill the kid. And it's nothing personal against him. And maybe you see something differently. But I don't watch Frank Ntilikina and say to myself, all right, here, I can see it. He's 19, he's 20, but I see it. I don't see it. Trey Burke? Trey Burke's not going to be here long term. Alonzo Trier? All right. Mitchell Robinson? Okay, he can come off the bench for me now. Courtney Lee won't be here, and Damian Dotson. You know what the truth is? And this is the truth. If the Knicks were a good team, if the Knicks were a 48-win team of this current roster, they probably don't have someone that starts on that team. 800-919-3776. But I will tell you, stay the course. Just stay the course. Let us make the decision. Do we want the kid from Murray State, Morant? Do we want Zion Williamson? Do we want RJ Barrett? Let's have weeks of those phone calls. We have the number one pick in the draft. Who do you like? That to me will be such a great topic. Get KP back and healthy. Tons of money in free agency. You look to Kyrie, you look to Durant, you look to the draft, and maybe, just maybe, as we sit here a year from now, January 26th of 2020, it's a completely different conversation. Do I think that's possible? I do. Is it hard to get there? It is.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, the man just told you, let me repeat, 800-919-3776. You pick up your phone, you dial that number now, we get you on. A question, quick, rapid fire. I mean, we are in between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. So can we please get it right? People know, hey, Dave, I love the show. I listened to way back when you were doing nights. We don't want that. We want rapid fire. Dave, Eli, back as the Giants quarterback next year. Move on. You know what it's like? It's like the Soup Nazi episode. Come in, ask your question, move to the side. You get your soup, you're done. You move out. And that's the way we do it. On Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. On the phones, 800-919-3776. Ty and Michelle will be, for those of you scoring at home, will be participating in this frenzy today. Ty, why don't you start us out?
All right, Dave. So let's go with Patty Mahomes. You know, he's going to be the MVP of the league. I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5 for amount of MVPs and Super Bowl titles. Do you go over or under?
So you're combining MVPs and Super Bowl titles, and we're assuming this is one.
Yes.
You're going 3.5. That's a good question. I'm going to go over. I mean, you got to figure he's going to win at least one Super Bowl. And if he doesn't, then, you know, God bless Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes as a combination. And if he wins one, do I think he's got a couple of MVPs left there? Yeah, I do. I would go over the 3.5. 800-919-3776. Steve Huntington, you're up, my friend.
Hey, Dave. Cole Beasley to the Jets as a slot receiver, free agency.
I'd like better. You know, I don't need, and thanks for the call, I don't need Cole Beasley's of the world. I need a big-time receiver. I want the elite receiver. I want the Antonio Brown if I can get him. I want someone of that ilk. I mean, Cole Beasley's fine. Is he any better than Robbie Anderson or Quincy Enunwa? Like I have those guys. I need a difference maker at wide receiver. Billy Glenn Cove. Billy, you're on the frenzy.
Chances after this year that Tom Brady goes back to the Super Bowl.
You want to say no? I mean, they're great. How could you say anything but they're great? All they do is good. They've been to nine. He's been in the league 17 years. More than half of his seasons has ended in the Super Bowl. Chances that he goes back again? Yes. Better than 50-50. Anthony Garrow tweets in, will the Cowboys ever go anywhere with Dak as quarterback? I mean, what is anywhere? I mean, they went to the second round of the postseason with Dak this year. Do I think that Dak Prescott, realistically, can lead a team to the promised land? No. Do I think he could lead a team to the to a championship game? Yeah, I think that's about as far as it goes with him. But let's be fair. They didn't lose because of Dak. They lost because their defense was hideous and their running game was non-existent. Edwin Flushing, Frenzy Go.
I got the Jets over Cleveland Browns in long-term success. They passed on Sam Darnold. They passed on Greg Williams' hire as a coach. And they also, Jack Dorsey came out publicly saying that we're not going to spend like drunken sailors. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't think they have any issue passing. Yeah, I agree with that, Misha. I don't think they have any issue passing on Sam Darnold right now. They didn't want Greg Williams. That was obvious. And why would you go out and spend like drunken sailors? They're not far. I mean, a good draft, a good free agency class, and that's a team that is absolutely, and he's going to get better. Mayfield is going to be better. Chubb is a terrific running back. I mean, that's a team that's clearly on the way. John Secaucus, you're up.
Hi, Dave.
Nice, Mish. I'm sorry. We can't do that, guys. This is not week three of preseason. This is a championship-level frenzy, and high days will not cut it. Mark and Jersey, you're on the frenzy.
Who deserves more credit, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
It's the million-dollar question. It was well asked, right to the point. We had this discussion on our show during the week. I would say Belichick. I think Canty says Brady, and you're both right. Brian and Princeton, you're on the frenzy, Bri.
If you're the Giants, would you rather trade up to go get the big tackle Jonah Williams in the draft, or would you rather trade down and hope that you can land the second-best guy and get some picks?
I would rather trade down. The Giants need everything. So unless it's for the quarterback, I'm not trading up. I'm not trading up for the tackle. I'm not trading up for the defensive end. There's one position that I'm willing to trade up for from the Giants, and that's quarterback, and that's it. 800-919-3776. Eric Reyes, is Julian Edelman a top five all-around football player? No, he's not. Rick Long Island, you're on the frenzy. Go.
Dave, I know you're a big Giants fan, and Eli brought you two Super Bowls, but realistically, he's had more down years than good years. Do you think it's counterproductive that they went two full seasons that were a complete disaster without starting a single other quarterback aside from Geno Smith, which was a complete joke?
No, I don't. I think it was a mistake to not draft the quarterback last offseason, but who do you have that you say, God, I wish, I mean, Davis Webb, they cut him. He doesn't even play in the NFL. He doesn't even dress in the NFL. So who do I wish that they had started? Nobody. Kyle Lauletta, you put him in for a half, he'd look completely lost. It's possible that they just don't have the successor to Eli Manning. I know that's difficult to believe, that it is a possibility. Michelle, I don't want to leave you out of the frenzy, and I know you have a good question, so go ahead.
Dave, will Drew Brees ever get back to a championship game?
No, I think that was it. I mean, to me, and I mentioned with RJ Bell last week, and people were destroying me on Twitter. Before the game, I said, I'm sorry, guys. I think that I've seen a real drop-off in Drew Brees, and let's be fair. He was not very good in that championship game. So could they? I mean, they could. They're still a talented team. But they were all in this year, and they had it stolen from them. Josh in Brooklyn, you're on the frenzy, Josh.
If the Jets can't get DeMarcus Lawrence, what other pass rusher do you think we can land in free agency?
I mean, there are guys available, but I don't know realistically who's going to be tagged and who's not going to be tagged. I think you make a huge play for Lawrence. I mean, D Ford is available. I'd have to look at the list again, to be honest with you. But there's going to be guys that are available. You're just going to have to overpay for them. And I don't want to hear the conversation of, boy, the Jets overpaid for that guy. You always overpay for guys in free agency. Always, always, always. Andy in Fairfield, you're on the frenzy, Andy.
Yeah, how long is Brady, Gronk, and Edelman trio going to last?
I think this is probably the end of that trio. I think that Gronk is on the verge of being done. Brady and Edelman, oh, strap in, pal, because you got a lot of that. Evan and Lindenhurst. Evan, you're on the frenzy.
If Cam Newton's upcoming shoulder surgery causes him to miss most or all of next year, who's going to play quarterback for the Panthers? Do they draft someone, sign someone? What is their plan?
Probably sign someone. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a play for Teddy Bridgewater, right? It's your team, one-year deal, $15 million. How about it? You know, if you have a good season, you're going to get paid huge on the open market, or you can stay and sit behind Drew Brees again. That's up to you. All right, Mish, why don't you blow the whistle on the frenzy? I got to be honest, of all the frenzies we've done the entire season, that is unequivocally one of the best. Ty was on point. Michelle was on point. Outside of one question that was not elite, the questions were excellent. It was rapid fire. It moved without fail. Excellent, excellent job.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. 800-919-3776. Last week was got off the rails, was not great. Ty promises this week will be considerably better. 2 weeks ago, I was like Hall of Fame level Stump Rothenberg. Ty, you claim you have a great question to start us out. I don't even care if I get it right or wrong. Just give me a good question to start.
It is an absolute gem.
It's a gem?
It is a gem. So on September 6, 1995, Cal Ripken Jr., broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive games played streak. Mm-hmm. Who was the winning pitcher? In this game?
Oh my goodness! I got to think back to that rotation. Greg Olson.
That is incorrect.
Mm. That's a decent question.
It's a gem, and here's the answer to the question.
Now Rafael Palmeiro was involved in that game, right?
I believe he was.
You know what? I know. I love this question even more that I figured out the answer.
I know you know the answer.
It's
now.
Mike Mussina,
yes,
isn't it?
It is Mike Mussina.
Yeah.
7 2/3 innings pitch, 2-run ball against.
See,
the Angels.
When your questions are bad, I destroy you. That is a Hall of Fame level question for many reasons.
Hall of Fame. I like the twist.
First of all, because I give credit when it's due. Okay. First of all, the question in its own right is a good question.
Okay.
Second of all, it's relevant. Timely. Because Mike Mussina just was elected to the Hall of Fame, yes. And it all wraps back around.
Absolutely.
So it's like a question with a full story. Mm-hmm. You had a beginning. There was a theme. You got to the end. Mm-hmm. People laughed. They cried. They thought about when they went home from the theater. Like, that was a terrific question.
A general
question. So don't tell me that I always beat up your questions.
And you know what? I'm going to give you 1-0 for it.
No, I didn't get it right.
But you got it right on the second try. And you thought your way through it.
Mike and Farm, because it occurred to me,
yep,
as I was sitting there thinking of the 95 Orioles pitcher, it occurred to me what you did. And I liked it. Quite frankly, I loved it. I loved what you did there. All right, let's move on and go to Mike and Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
All right, here we go. So here's some music television question.
All right. Now, you say music television, it's like theme song related?
No, I'm actually talking about VH1, the channel. You remember
it? Yes.
What does VH stand for? Like MTV was music television?
Oh.
What did the V and the H stand for?
V and the H? Huh. Video?
Yes.
Huh. Hmm. Hmm. It's video.
It is video.
Video hits one?
You, sir, are correct.
I am correct. That seems too easy. Like I was giving it way too much thought. All right, here we go. 800-919. Now we're rolling. 800-919-3776. Chris Bethpage, you're on. A little Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Super Bowl trivia.
Okay.
Only one franchise has won at least one Super Bowl in four different decades.
We call them the New York Football Giants.
I love that you got it, Dave. Let me just say something quickly. I'm a big Giant fan.
Hang on, Chris. Michelle, if you could be a deer and play the... Thank you very much. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Dave, I asked 10 different people literally that question, And even my brother said, you got to ask Rothenberg that one. I go, you know what? He's going to get it. I don't want to ask him that. My brother's like, nobody got it. You're the only one that got it. So it just showed, I knew you would get it because you're a Giant fan like me. But anyhow, and the reason I always bring that trivia question up is I talk about success over time, which is what the Giants have given us. That's what
you're
I
right. I mean, they have spread out now from prior to 86. It was quite a rough run, but there we go. And to not know that, I mean, come on. I think I could probably sit here and tell you the days they won the Super Bowl. January 25th, 1987. No, I'm not going to do this. John in Queens. You're on Stump Rothenberg, John.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
Good. I'm red hot early on here, John.
Okay, well, we'll see about that.
What's the genre? What topic are you going to throw my way?
Okay, I was about to say, this question combines presidential trivia and world history. Okay,
is this a terrible question?
I don't know. I think you have a shot at it because I know you don't like both of those genres. So, which president's birthday is the anniversary of the Battle of Hastings?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say FDR.
You are two presidents off. It's Eisenhower, October 14th.
All right. I mean, you got me. There's not much I could do about that. Spike in Jersey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, my friend. First of all, I want to make a statement. I'm a big fan of Ty, but Dave Rothenberg is a gift to all of us.
Thank you, Spike.
And I'll leave it at
that. Not everyone sees the gem that, in fact, I am, but occasionally the sunlight breaks through the clouds and hits you right in front of you on the sidewalk, and that is what I am.
And you must put your sunglasses on. All right, NFL, this is a statistic that has been new in the last 20 years. It's been emphasized. Percentage of completions lifetime of all the passes in the NFL. Now, there's an anomaly here. The top five, but there's a three-way exact percentage tie for five.
Now,
so
we're going
I want
career?
To roll them off.
We're going career.
Career.
All right. I guess Drew Brees is
number one.
Matt Ryan?
Tied for fifth.
Chad Pennington.
Number three.
How many am I trying to get?
You need two more. You need number two and number four.
So if I get four out of five, I don't get this question,
right? You get three out of five in my book, you're a winner, but these two are going to be tricky.
Peyton Manning?
No, Peyton Manning's tied for fifth, so you're still alive. Go ahead.
Where's Kirk Cousins on this list?
Number two. You got it right. That's four out of five, but give me number four.
Romo?
He's tied for fifth. You're sweeping this thing. Number four is?
God's sakes. Rivers.
Rivers is not there. He's nine. Kurt Warner. But that's brilliant. You got six out of seven. Can't do that.
All right, there we go. I'll take that as a win. Michelle, are you participating in Stump Rothenberg this week?
Of course.
You had a good question last week. Let's keep it up.
So, Dave, I'm going movies.
Okay.
In which Woody Allen movie did Madonna play a trapeze artist?
Oh, okay. All right. Fog. Oh, God. Right? That's right.
It's, you're close.
Yeah, it's something in Fog. It's, oh, God. And it was the early 90s.
You're right there.
I know I'm right there. I'm sitting here, and it was in black and white. And Malkovich was in it. Oh, God. Michelle. See, this is what happens when you get older. Oh, Shadows and Fog.
Oh, that's correct.
That was terrible. That was as close to childbirth as I've ever come. That was very difficult.
Whoa. Oh.
What?
That was what?
That was as close. I mean, that was very difficult. It was like pushing a child out.
Nice. Okay.
Right? I mean, I don't know what that's like as for a man, but I imagine it was very close to that. No?
Sure.
Noel or Noel, either way, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
In 2011, Chris Canty recorded a career high in tackles and sacks. How many tackles and sacks did he have?
Oh. How am I going to know how many tackles Chris Canty had? right? Oh, come on. Ty, would you agree that's a ridiculous question?
Sacks. How many sacks do you have?
I don't think he was ever a big sack guy. I'm going to say five.
Four is correct.
Four is correct. There you go. Never a big sack guy.
Yeah, 47 tackles. 47 tackles.
Can you please agree with me that asking how many tackles Chris Canty had in the season is a ridiculous question?
Yes. I do like the Chris Canty reference. He's your co-host.
No, I love Chris. Like, if you would say, where did Chris go to college? That's the kind of question we're looking for. Now, that's easy.
That's
but, yeah,
easy,
something
yeah.
like that.
That's
but
easy.
Come on. How many tackles did he have in his season?
Yeah. It's a little ridiculous.
It's very ridiculous. You don't have another one, do you?
Do I have another one?
Do you have another one?
I do.
I'm not ready for it yet. John in Somerset. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
On the legendary Beatles album cover, Abbey Road, in what order are the Beatles crossing the street?
Oh. All right. I'm going to say Ringo. No, it's got to be John is first, and he's in a white suit. Yes or no?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to give you the answers?
No. It's John, it's Ringo, it's Paul, and it's George.
There you go.
There I go. There I go. Michelle, there I go. And I think we're done. Ty, you feel like we had a successful run there?
That was a good run.
That was a hell of a run.
Yes, that was incredible. We started off on a good note. Everyone's clicking on all cylinders. A lot of synergy here, so that was good.
There we go. All right, let's put an end to that. So 800-919-3776. Again, RJ Bell is going to join us right at the top of the 11 o'clock hour live from Vegas. So we'll run through everything with him, prop bets, the game, the number. He said yesterday, he was pretty strong in his statement, if you want to get in on the Patriots, and you may have missed your window already, we'll talk to RJ in a couple minutes, get it before it gets to three, because that will happen. And we'll do Stump Rothenberg for all you guys. Or girls that say, oh, man, I wanted to get involved. We'll do it again next Saturday at 10:30. Every Saturday, 10:30.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's the Super Box Bonanza going on now with over $10,000 in cash and prizes, including a $3,000 grand prize. WEPN-FM, New York. Sports
Center. RJ Bell, factual information, a genius from Las Vegas, and we got him. Good morning, RJ Bell.
And I can tell you how great you are, Dave.
Well, take a minute, do it. Go ahead.
But it will have a hint of sarcasm, so I don't think you'll appreciate it.
But I know this to be the truth. You like me.
Oh, for sure. Listen, let's be honest. Most radio guys aren't really all that intelligent. and it would be wrong for me to call you unintelligent. So that puts you in a minority category right away.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get.
I got to be honest with you, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Canty's feeling the heat.
I got to tell you. And did you, by the way, did you hear the way I came to your defense yesterday?
And again, it was so agreeable. I mean, I've been, let's be honest, as Avon Barksdale said, don't play road games. I played a road game here, and I've gotten took. I mean, every which way, every decision has gone against me.
No, the only thing I would say, I don't agree that you've been taken. The one that you was not really genuine
fair.
is when you were, he took the Patriots and then you were not allowed to take them. So that one week.
Which really, if I had taken the Pats here, this thing would be all over by the shout.
Yeah, in theory. Do you know where you're going to go? First of all, here's the thing. What's the number right now on the game? Is it up to three yet? Or are we still at 2.5?
I'm still, you know, I can check because I haven't, you know, it's just turned 8 out here. So I haven't looked this morning, but as we're talking, I'll pull it up. But as of late last night, 2.5. And what we call it, Dave, is 2.6, which means, oh, there's a few places that have extra juice on the 2.5.
So it's like 2.5 minus 120 kind of thing.
It's a little past 2.5.
Right. So you've said that. I just want you to repeat it. If you love the Patriots, bet it now, right?
For sure. And this is a good example of this is just objective, clear advice. There's no nuance. If you like the Patriots and you can lay 2.5, which almost everyone can, bet it now. The theory being it could go to 3, could stay the same, could go to 2. Well, if it stays the same, it doesn't matter. But if it goes to 3 and you bet it later, the Pats, wow, that's the worst half point you could have lost because 3 is the most valuable number in the NFL because the margin of victory of 3 is the most common. And if it goes to two and you benefit, if you wait, you're not gaining that much. Yeah, it's better than laying 2.5, but two is such an uncommon margin.
Right.
So if you like the Pats, you're risking too much to wait. If you like the Rams, you're not getting enough not to wait. Because if you get the three, wow, in the future, that's very valuable. So really, we'll lead with this. And hey, you're the host, so I'll defer. But maybe end with this hour. It's that clear. If you like the Pats, bet it now. Like the Rams, bet it the first time you can get plus three, minus 110.
Absolutely. Now, here's the question for you. Do you envision any chance that this number goes up past three? Or is three the ceiling of where you think it could potentially go?
You know, I'm always careful with the any chance, but I would say if someone – I would allow someone to lay 12-1. So if you wanted to bet, not saying you do, and I wouldn't, and it was 100 to win 1,200, I'd give it to you that it doesn't get to 3.5. So I think we're looking at less than a 10% chance.
Now, did they – make a mistake with the opening number? I mean, did they want the money to go on New England to bump it up to the 2.5-3 number? Because it's a big jump so quickly.
Yeah, they certainly made a mistake. And this is probably the most difficult concept for people to get because it's very fun just to say, oh, Vegas. You know how smart Vegas is? Ooh, dog. And I like to play into that too, right? Because, you know, Vegas
and
my
brain. I mean, honestly, it's like Sammy Davis. You know, Frank Sinatra, R.J. Bell.
I think Liberace than R.J.
Well, I did have a long run there. I'll give you Liberace as well. Maybe Cher. but if there's a Mount Rushmore of Vegas, Mo Green, and then you.
And not even a statue. You know, actually, I don't know if you saw, but in that Roger Stone indictment, he was talking about Frank Pantangeli from 2. Remember they bring in his brother?
Of course.
I don't know. So here's the concept, though, is the odds makers, which really are effectively the bookmakers, are not very intelligent people. They don't want to hear that. They think they are because they get on TV. But boy, oh boy, let me ask you, if you could be a professional batter, betting, let's say even $10,000 a game, which is a lot of money, but there's a lot of those types out there. Or would you rather be a guy who has to show up at work at 7:30 in the morning, has to manage a bunch of people, and let's think about those ticket writers a second. You think that that's a good crowd of people? So they're managing those guys, oh, failed drug tests, and then they got to go upstairs and have some vice president who knows nothing about sports betting, tell them, why didn't you move this number earlier? Like, being a sportsbook operator, a manager, is not a fun job, right? It pays fairly well. It's a middle manager's position for a middling intellect. Those guys are not very intelligent. So what ends up happening...
A middling intellect is one of the great phrases I've ever heard. It's such a way of just talking about someone being like, they're just not as bright as I am.
Well, I mean, obviously, but they're not as bright as most professional batters. But now that the media is involved, and listen, I'm a big fan of ESPN. I've done a lot with them over the years, but here's where ESPN.com makes a mistake, and hopefully they'll figure it out one day. They don't know who to go to talk about this stuff because there is no PhDs in sports betting. Usually it's how credentialed. Oh, we're talking psychology. Let's go get a PhD. Psychiatrist, like there's credentials. There's not credentials when it comes to sports betting, except on the bookmaking side, because you get the billion-dollar brand. Oh, the MGM bookmaker. Oh, the so-and-so bookmaker. And again, that is one side of the table. But the better side, you don't know who to go to because there is no credentials. And that's what these part-time, oftentimes, sports writers do at .com and other places, other big media companies. They only go to the bookmakers who, one, aren't all that insightful anyway. But number two, they only got the behind-the-counter perspective. So to me, as this industry grows, I really hope there's more, let's say, journalistic sources from the betting side, not just the bookmaking side.
So you say they're not all that bright. How do they get it so wrong? Where they come out with the Rams, or what was it? Rams were favored by 1.5, and we're going to probably have a 4.5-point swing by the time that we're done. Isn't that a big swing? How do they get it so wrong? And isn't there something built in for the Patriots just to already have an advantage?
Well, would you, let's deal with the second one for it. Built into the Patriots already have an advantage.
Well, like, aren't they going to say that New England, like, wouldn't you put it towards New England to win every game? Like, be careful in the number you're going to come out and make sure that you're going to make it extra difficult to bet New England.
I think they do. I think the Lions end up doing that, except.
But the 1.5
they still
doesn't
overcome
feel
it.
Like that. The 1.5 number that came out doesn't feel like
well,
that.
Well, let's deal with the number that came out. So, I've heard different reports. Fezzik, our main NFL guy at pregame.com, he actually got a +1 on the Pats. That's the best. And he has 29 outs, literally, on his screen. So, I'm thinking there might have been better, but let's call +1 the best number. You could have gotten.
But still, it seems like an egregious mistake for where
now. I was just defining it to start with. Is the, and Dave, I apologize. I'll change headphones here between on the commercial. I'm not hearing you great if I'm talking over you spot. To me, what you got to realize is that opening number, that +1, let's call it on the Pats, is coming from the Midland intellects of the bookmakers. What makes Vegas, and I'll put that in quotes, so unbeatable is its collective IQ. So anyone that's interested, it's called The Wisdom of Crowds, and there's actually a book that was written on this that was very influential, where if you have a bunch of people voting on something, and in this case, it's not a vote as much as a weighted vote, because if I bet 1,000 and you bet 100, I get 10 votes, right? Because I'm betting 10X, right, what you're betting, that kind of market usually gets you to the proper price, even better than if you had 100 RJ Bells or 100 other professional bettors. You might say, well, 100 of those guys with no dummies is going to be better than everyone together. And what ends up happening is, no, the marketplace itself is better, more accurate in the long run. Thus, when you have an opening number, it's not really Vegas. It's one sportsbook's opinion. And when you have days and days of betting, right, before the game starts, that is the true Vegas number. And boy, oh boy, you rarely see those numbers be wrong. You'll often see opening numbers be wrong. And finally, that's why my strongest advice is, if you want to bet and max your chance to win, bet as early as you can after the number opens, because the other smart people don't have a chance maybe to bet yet. You can bet against the bookmaker and the odds makers instead of the marketplace.
All right, 800-919-3776. So why don't we do this? Why don't we line up some calls on the Super Bowl? And I mean, anywhere, you don't have a Pro Bowl selection, do you?
You know, I actually have some strong stuff on
that. Stop it. You don't have strong stuff on the Pro Bowl.
Well, Dave, you can bet me on it. No. I'll let you have the market, and I'll bet you.
What, you would take action on the Pro Bowl?
Oh, my God. Listen, they take action on WrestleMania. I have no problem betting the Pro Bowl.
Well, you can wager on predetermined out, like on things that are already decided.
What are you saying about wrestling?
Come on, stop.
No, you can, but really, what are you betting? You are betting not who's the better athlete, the better wrestler. You're betting who the writers are going to put over. Right? Remember, one of the biggest props of all time, most famous, was who shot JR in 1980.
So that is unbelievable. Who shot him, by the way? I'm still not up to date on that.
It was Kristen. Uh-huh. Spoiler alert. It was
For anyone that is waiting to watch the finality of Dallas, it was turn off the radio right now. It was Kristen. Now who is she?
It was his wife, Sue Ellen, JR's wife's sister.
You just said it was Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen's her name.
Well, and then it was Sue Ellen also?
No, Sue Ellen is... did you watch Dallas, Dave?
No.
Then it's time for you to catch up on
culture. I don't like anything from Dallas. I don't like the Mavericks. I don't like the Stars. I can't stand the Cowboys. I don't even like the TV show.
Listen, this is very insightful on RJ's life. So I'm 48. So when Dallas launched, I was 8 in 78, right? And my mom and dad would watch Dallas. And I was a little kid watching Dallas.
They let you watch a salacious show like that?
They did. I remember one time they were talking about the Dusty Farlow was impotent. And I was like, Mommy, what's impotent? So, yeah, there were some issues there. But
so while every other 8-year-old in the country was watching The Love Boat and just enjoying Julie the Cruise director, they let you sit there and watch Dallas?
And I think that's why I'm here, and also why I have some of the problems I do. JR became my role model.
Oh, my God.
It's true,
so
actually.
Sue Ellen and Kristen shot him?
Yeah, so Sue Ellen was the wife of JR. And JR had an affair with Kristen, her sister. And then she said, hey, you're not leaving my sister. I'm going to make you leave the earth. Boom, boom, boom.
Did this kill him or it just shot him and wounded him?
It just wounded him. He was back in action. Though there was issues with performance later when, you know, but then he was fine.
Thus the impotence.
That was actually that was Dusty Farlow who ended up being the, Sue Ellen had an affair with him, but he had a plane crash and he became impotent and JR used to make fun of him for it.
This is before he was shot, because he couldn't speak after he was shot, right?
Well, but then he was fine again. JR was a fast healer. Now, what's interesting is Dusty Farlow's dad, Clayton, ended up marrying Sue Ellen, ended up marrying Miss Ellie, who was JR's mother, and thus he became JR's stepfather. Very contentious.
Very contentious. Very, very contentious.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.